somebody else on you. So if they want you, they don't have to come to you. They go to those who own you. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
We should organize, brothers and sisters. And we should love organization. We should preach it. There never will become a time when you won't need organization. You always need it. If you in your own home, in your own private home, if you would work for organization in your own private home, you would have a stronger family. Teach your children and yourself that we are an organization. And the only way we can survive in this world of sophisticated organization, we are going to have to constantly improve upon the strength of our organization. That's what you should teach your family there, brother and sister. Work hard. Try as an organization, as a family. Don't just go out and buy. You ought to go out and shop and spend freely. If he's the wrong type of spender, he might weaken the house. Make the house fall down on one side. The mother, she will go out as an individual from the family. And she spend the money like she wants to spend it. And weaken the family. Is that right? The father, he got problems in his with himself. He thinks he's the prettiest and most special thing on earth. So he just has to keep himself looking pretty and special. He wastes the money because he's too wrapped up in his individual thing. Buying new high heel shoes, or a bigger and more expensive hat, or a finer leather coat. Is that right? Pretty soon the house is just all cluttered up with a bunch of individual junk that made Mr. Goldstein rich and us stay in the bread line, all welfare, or out there with pistols, peeking around in the dark, picking each other up. Don't you know that's a horrible life? Waiting for a welfare check when you know it's not big enough. You with your stupid self, you have lived way beyond the elasticity of the welfare check. It just won't stretch as far as you have stretched yourself out. So you wait for it like a starving dog. Tongue pat, hang up. Hurry up, mailman, hurry up. You don't hurry up, you got to go out there and do some wrong, right? Why live like that? Why destroy yourself? Don't you know that's a terrible life, brother and sister? It's much easier to live as human beings. Human beings are made to live together, not as individuals. A thief is an individualist. A rapist is an individualist. A con man is an individualist. They have to stay in the dark and in privacy, you see. They have to be in the closet when they figure and plan and wrap that thing out. He's an individualist. I don't want any individualism. I know that Almighty God made me to live with people. I was born with people. When I opened my eyes, I saw two, a father and a mother. And if I didn't see but one, I know I didn't get here by one. It takes two. You understand? Right. So I came in here and into a world of people, not into a world that was one individual. So I know if I have to survive, I'm going to have to live as a community in my own private home, in my own temple of Islam, in my own people, because we have enemies, brother and sister. As a homeowner, you got enemies out there in the street. And as a religious body of people, you got enemies on the outside of your religious body. And as a race, you got enemies on the outside of your race. And as a nation, we got enemies on the outside of our nation. But if we organize the home, If we organize ourselves on every in every dimension of our growth, our expansion, in every circle, if we organize ourselves tightly and work to improve the organization, to strengthen the organization, we'll be strong. We'll be strong as homeowners or as renters in our apartment. We'll be strong as individuals, because even if you're not married, if you're a single man or a single woman, you belong to some circle. You don't belong to the male and female circle. You belong to a work circle. You belong to a religious circle. You belong to some circle. Whatever circle you belong to, work to strengthen that circle. Get away from this old individualistic thing you got, that I have to do my own thing. The one who sold you that trunk had you as part of his own thing and didn't want to lose you. That's why he put out that song, "Do Your Own Thing." Because as long as you're doing your own thing, you belong to his thing. I don't want my own thing. I want our thing. I don't ask everybody to be willing to sacrifice as much as I sacrifice. But I do expect for everybody who say that they follow what we represent here, I expect that you just be willing to sacrifice something. And I hope that you'll be always desiring to increase your sacrifice. Maybe you can't increase it, but you should have the desire to increase your sacrifice for the good of us all. Right now, I would be perfectly happy to wear two simple Levi's, a Pierce and Roebuck work jeans and a work shirt, a work jacket, and work shoes, and a work hat, and work shirt, and eat the cheapest food, if I thought that it would make all of us become community. Why? Community. Awake. Aware. If it would make all of us aware of ourselves as a community, it would make all of us begin to work together as a people, I'd be willing to do that.
And I'm comfortable now. I like the food. It feels good.
I like the food I eat. It's very good food. But I don't like it as much as I like the change, the ugly, unnatural taste of the Delalian people in America, called so-called black Negroes. I don't like it as... Thank you. I wish that it was some sacrifice that I could make. Believe it or not, brother and sister, if I thought by hanging myself on a cross or stabbing myself or running into some vicious enemy and sacrificing my life in a battle with him, if I thought that that would bring us around, oh, I would do that very fast. Wouldn't be a second thought. But I know that won't bring you around. I'll be dead and you'll be gone back into your crazy habits so fast. You'll mourn a few days. Wasn't that a terrible thing? You know, he was really serious. And pretty soon the community would be just as crazy as it was, or more so, before I made the supreme sacrifice. You know, I'm going to close out now. But in closing out, I just have to say this. We don't even know the supreme sacrifice. think the supreme sacrifice that Jesus made was ascending the cross and being killed physically? Brother, the supreme sacrifice is not to give up your physical life. The supreme sacrifice is to give up what you want and keep your physical life. It's harder to live denying yourself what you want in life than it is to die and end it all. The easiest thing it is to do is to die and end it all. But human beings, on the whole, are not made so weak that they want to die and give up for everything. Human beings are strong creatures. Almighty God made us strong creatures. We know tomorrow is going to be ugly. It's going to be another bad day. But we face it anyway, right? Why? Because we're weak? No, because we're strong. Those that get weak, they don't face it. They take sleeping pills and give it up. Is that right? For those who are strong, they continue to face the next day, hoping that maybe tomorrow I'll be able to knock it down a bit so I can handle it. Is that right? Okay, so the strength of the human being is not cutting his throat or letting somebody stab him in the heart. The strength of the human being is living with his difficulty, with the hope of knocking him down a bit every day. Is that right or wrong? So really the great price that Jesus paid was living in a world that was against the kind of world that he wanted in his heart and in his mind. And he lived in it and he suffered in it for the sake of bringing other people to what he knew was better, a better world and a better life for them. That was the real sacrifice that Jesus made, not physical death. You see how the church turned you around? You see how somebody turned the church around? Got the church thinking that Jesus is Savior because he gave his physical life to save the world. No. He gave his life by living in a world of sinners, putting up with them, suffering their criticism, their scorn and abuse, and getting up every day facing that kind of hostile world. It takes strength to do that, brothers and sisters. Not to jump up on a limb and be hung, hanged. It takes strength to get up every day in a world that you know don't respect your righteousness, don't respect your truth, don't have any reception for it. And you know in your heart that it's so valuable, it's so precious for human beings, that the whole world should be singing for joy in the morning saying, come on out, Christ, and deliver this precious truth to us. But they are standing out there saying, will that stupid, crazy maniac come out today? We're ready to throw something at him. So this is suffering, brother and sister, of the righteous man. The suffering is living, staying in the world, living against all the opposition, against all the evil, against all the hostility, living in that terrible world for the sake of reaching others with something that'll make them alive in a real human and divine sense. So I thank you, and I hope that you'll come into the truth, accept the truth, grab it in your hand and hold it because it's your life. Nothing is a saving line to you more than truth. And it's a miracle worker, brother and sister. That's right. If you want some miracles in your life, make up your mind today that you're going to take a stand on the side of truth and you're going to be a soldier for truth, fighting for truth, even if it's against yourself, against your baby daughter, against your son, against your grandfather or your father or your mother, or against your boss on the job, no matter who it's against, you're going to stand up for truth. Make that decision right now, and I guarantee you there'll be miracles in your life before the night's over. That's right. So I thank you. As-salamu alaykum. Hallelujah. All praise be to Allah. I think you can see now what we were saying. And I think you can see now why he is the chief. Not why he is called the chief, but why he is the chief. For anyone who is interested in being of the tribe of righteousness, the Honorable Wallace G. Muhammad is the chief. How many of you are visiting with us today for the first or second time? Let me see your hand. Just raise your hand. First or second time visiting. My goodness, all praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Will those of you who are visiting with us today for the first or second time, who believe what you heard to be true and are desirous of representing that truth, just stand up right where you are. Stand up right where you are if you believe what you heard to be true. All praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Don't sit back down. Don't sit back down. The Honorable Wallace G. Muhammad says that if you are willing to hear truth, and if you want to stand up to represent it, and if you can stand up to say that you heard the truth, then your next obligation is to come into an organization that represents truth. You can't hear truth, admit that you've heard truth, and then choose to stand outside of truth. So for those of you who want to become a part of this truth, I want you to come right up to the front, take my hand, go back to your seat, and fill out this card. This card is called the Book of Life card. It says very simply, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. I understand that the Nation of Islam is the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning the return of Christ. I desire to claim my place in this body, the Nation of Islam. All you do then is fill out your name and your address on this card, and you will be recognized as a member of the body that is standing up for truth. If you want to be a part of this body, brothers and sisters, come up, take my hand right now.
If there's anybody downstairs that wants to join, come right on up. You want all of us.